So today is the first Sunday of Advent. This is our journey toward the coming of Christ once again into our hearts and lives at Christmas. It's this time of preparation, of getting ready for Christ to come. And today we begin a new series, and this is the last one in our year-long series, What the Bible Really Says About. And this Advent, we're talking about heaven, hell, and the end of time, because you ask questions about those things. Also, traditionally during Advent, the church talked about Jesus coming again, about the second coming of Jesus and God fully claiming the world. I'm actually going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. So the topics for this series are not so far-fetched. We begin today with some reflections on heaven and hell. We'll hear four short passages from the New Testament. Listen closely to what they say about the kingdom of God, about heaven, and a bit about hell. We start with these passages.
Reading from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And then from John 14:1-4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. First, some words from Paul's letter to the Romans, and then from the revelation to John. But by your hard and impatient heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will repay according to each one's deeds. To those who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. While for those who are self-seeking, and who obey not the truth, but wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. And now from the revelation to John. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word today. Amen. So I imagine that over these last few days, you have eaten something heavenly. I was eating a piece of pumpkin supreme pie yesterday, and I thought, oh, this is heavenly. What makes something heavenly? Of course, it's that taste and smell and all of that, but it also are things that are beautiful and awe-inspiring, and sometimes heavenly things settle us, and sometimes they inspire us. Like a beautiful anthem. Sometimes heavenly things bring us peace. Sometimes heavenly things connect us to God and others. Today I want to talk about just a few things to spark our thinking about heaven and hell. Here's a way to think about heaven and hell. If you're writing things down in your worship guide, here's where you can write what you can write. Heaven is life with God. And hell is life without God. This is, I think, the case both in this life and eternally. Heaven is life with God, and hell is life without God. We pastors, and I imagine many of you, hear a lot of questions and related questions about heaven and hell, like, is heaven a place? Is hell a place? Do we go there after we die? And what is it like? Then there are these even bigger questions, the deeper ones. What happens to me when I die? And what happens to those I love when they die, especially if they didn't believe in Jesus in this life? And will I see my loved ones again? Those are some questions that float through our heads, right? So here's a few of my thoughts and my perspectives based on my study of Scripture, my thinking, my experience of the faith, and the tradition of Christianity. And John Wesley, you might recognize that as the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, a way of looking at matters of faith, like we're doing here about heaven and hell. Here's one thing from Scripture. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God. In fact, almost more than anything else. He talked about a lot of things, but he talked about the kingdom of God a lot. The Gospels are full of him talking about bringing the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of God coming near and more. And when he was asked to teach his followers to pray, one of the phrases he taught them was, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." You recognize that, right? To me, that prayer means that God is the ruler and the sovereign of heaven and earth, where the full peace and joy of God is everywhere in God's heavenly realm all the time. Jesus came to show us the way to God's kingdom and to help bring about God's kingdom here on earth. Through Jesus, we get a glimpse of heaven on earth. Through Jesus, we come to know the love of God, the way of God, the saving power of God. Heaven is not some far-off place, but partly we come to know it here through Jesus, not in its fullness, but partly. Jesus asked us to follow him, to learn from him, to seek to live as he lived, and to be willing to give up our own lives in order to serve his ways of love in the world, to believe in him, to seek to deeply know him and to serve him. Jesus asked us, his followers, to help bring about God's kingdom on earth by our words, our actions, so that others would know God's love in Jesus too. If we do this, if we follow and serve Jesus, we have life in this life, and we are assured of life eternal with God in God's kingdom, here on earth and eternally. Loving and knowing Jesus brings us life. This is how I get through my days. Following Jesus' way of love brings me peace and joy and hope, and I catch glimpses of heaven on earth by following Jesus. When I say the words of Holy Communion, which we will do in a few minutes, and then tear the bread and offer it to you, or hold the cup and offer it to you, it is a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So, friends, I expect that when I die, I will be drawn into the love of God, and I will live forever in the kingdom of God. Heaven, if you want to call it that, eternal life with God. Truly, I don't think about it that much, where I'll be when I die. I try to follow the will and the ways of Jesus. I fail miserably sometimes, and I ask forgiveness, and I return to God, and God welcomes me. I expect, hope, and pray that God will welcome me finally someday. Meanwhile, I try to show God's kingdom, God's heaven, here on earth. How about the other side? I think, like all of us, if we're honest, I have had glimpses or even periods of hell on earth in this life. Moments of deep despair, hatred, anger, loneliness, rage, and denial of God's love, where I have felt separate from God. And I think we, if we're honest, we all have times like that. And I have watched others do that, separate themselves from God's love and experience hell on earth. I probably don't need to say more about this. I have also heard and watched people deny the love of God offered to them, proclaim that God doesn't exist and that they don't need God. I wouldn't presume that they're experiencing hell on earth, but what we sometimes wonder is this. If someone has forever denied God, are they doomed to eternal hell? We sometimes ask that question, and here is what I would say. I believe so strongly in the prevenient grace of God, God's grace that goes before us and seeks us endlessly, that I can only believe that God will seek all people till the moment of their death in this life and perhaps beyond in order to draw people to God rather than be eternally separated. I believe that I can't know what happens to someone, even someone who has denied God all their life. I believe I can't know what happens to someone. That is between them and God, and I know that God's love is meant to win. I do believe, I can conceive, that it is possible for people to be eternally separate from God, to separate themselves in anguish or torment in hell, if you want to call it that. But I believe even more firmly in God's eternal seeking of people, of grabbing them at the moment of their death in this life into the loving, waiting arms of God. Can you grab onto that image? I believe more firmly in God eternally seeking people, grabbing them at the moment of their death in this life into God's loving arms. Do you think that when Jesus said the words in John 14, that everyone there believed deeply in God, or was he making a promise to them about God's love when he said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Do you think everyone hearing those words for the first time believed deeply in Jesus? I think Jesus was making a promise and was making a statement about seeking them always. And remember this verse, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." I've come to think of this like this. Those who believe and follow Jesus and serve and love him in this world and ask forgiveness will be given eternal life. I've already said that. But that doesn't mean that those who do not yet follow Jesus are lost. God is always seeking them, reaching for them, working on them. Those of us who love and follow Jesus will have eternal life, but that doesn't mean that others won't. God continues to seek them. God continues to seek them. Another thing I think about when Jesus said the kingdom of God has come near, I don't think he meant that that was true just because he was on earth. I think he meant that God's kingdom is as near as our breath, as close as the beating of our hearts. In the midst, God's kingdom is in the midst of our acts of service and our love in Jesus' name. There is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth. If God is everywhere, you believe that? God is everywhere? You believe God is everywhere? Then I believe that those we love who have left this life, who have been drawn into God, they are near too. Can you hold on to that? If God is everywhere, then those we love who have been drawn into God, they are near too. That the kingdom of God, heaven, is all around us and in us and near to us and available to us. God gives us moments and glimpses of heaven, of God's kingdom in this life and then eternally after our death. So will we see our loved ones again? Probably not see them the way we see now, but we will see with the eyes of God as we are joined with them in God's love, in the kingdom of God, heaven all around us. You know, you see, I don't think heaven is a place where you take a spaceship to get there. It is more like what I have been describing. The Bible is clear that those who love and follow Jesus and seek to do his work in the world, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, show his love by words and actions, are on a path to eternal life. Those who love and follow Jesus and seek to do his work in the world are on a path to eternal life. Those who fail to do that, or who are openly hostile and rejecting, are on a path to death in this life and eternally. Because the scripture says, to those who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. While for those who are self-seeking and who obey not the truth but wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. So what is heavenly? Heavenly is seeking life with God. And what is hellish? Hellish is being separated from God. We have the privilege of catching glimpses of eternal life, of heaven here on earth, of being fed and strengthened to be a follower of Jesus. We will do that in the table today. We have the privilege of catching glimpses of eternal life in music and in dance, in song and in word, in beauty and in love, and indeed, friends, by joining in Holy Communion. We join with Jesus in the bread and the cup, and we catch a glimpse of heaven and are strengthened for life. Amen.